Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Let's turn one last time to the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, as we close out our study in this wonderful hymn of the Old Testament. Psalm 23. We will focus our attention on the last verse. And again, I want to remind us that in the Hebrew mind, quite often what is spoken last is most important. And while there are many things in this psalm that are very, very important for us to know, to understand, I certainly do appreciate the last stanza of the hymn, where David outlines or simply states the promises of God to those who follow him as the shepherd of their lives. We live in a very materialistic and egocentric society. I'm sure there is no doubt in your mind about that. We see this particularly at the Christmas time when more emphasis is placed on buying and selling and giving and receiving of gifts and more expensive gifts and more elaborate gifts than last year. And the spiritual aspect of Christmas is downplayed, even scorned in our society, where the emphasis in most of the circles that we gravitate around into, Christ is taken out of Christmas. And the greeting you hear nowadays more often than not is Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas. But even if we were to continue to interject that seasonal greeting, Merry Christmas, and we were to continue to voice that to those that we meet, we still have to acknowledge that our society is drunk on materialism, and that our country is pursuing at a pell-mell speed, at a very fast-paced speed, an emphasis on self, on me, on mine. We live in an age where personal comforts and successes are gauged by the way that we look, by the things that we have, by the accomplishments that we have made in life, rather than who and what we really are, on character. All too often, another aspect of this egocentric attitude, this materialistic attitude, is realized in our emphasis on the now and what we do now. The focus for many of us in our world is on what's important for today, often to the expense of tomorrow and what happens tomorrow. We live for today, and we should. We're only granted today. Tomorrow is past. It cannot be relived. I mean, yesterday is past and cannot be relived. Tomorrow is only a hope. We have no guarantee that tomorrow will ever come. We only have today, and we should live for today. But we fail to consider that all too often the way we live today affects tomorrow. And we don't think critically of the consequences of our conduct, our actions, our words. For instance, a beer today could very well lead to alcoholism tomorrow. A lustful look today can lead to an adulterous relationship tomorrow. A fit of anger today may lead to a life of abuse tomorrow. And a little white lie today can lead to a life of deceit tomorrow. But we don't think about those things very often. Another aspect to this egocentric attitude is tunnel vision. Tunnel vision, as Webster defines it, tunnel vision is the reluctance to consider alternatives to our own preferred way of thinking. Very nice way of putting it, it's either my way or the highway, which a lot of folks, even in the church, express that kind of an attitude. Again, it's egocentric. It's self-centered. We convince ourselves, because of the way we've been brought up, thanks to men like John Wayne and Clint Eastwood and others like them, we convince ourselves that the most important thing in life is taking care of number one. And I am number one. And yet the Bible clearly states that the sin God detests most in man is his ego and his pride. In Job chapter 35, verses 10 through 13, the old patriarch says, "No one says, 'Where is God my maker, who gives song in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven?' There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it." King Solomon writes in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." Again, King Solomon writes in Proverbs 16:18, a passage that all of us are very familiar with, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And yet, while the Bible continues to warn us against pride that goes unchecked, ego that has given no bounds, and we often see the negative results of these things in our own lives, we still don't pay that much attention to the warning. We continue to cultivate an arrogance about ourselves, a pride about ourselves. And yet we fail to remember that man is not his own creator. Man is not his own creator. And I would venture to say, and I think I'm correct in saying it, man is not even his own best friend. We do so much to hinder and to destroy ourselves. We're not even our own best friend. Our efforts to extend the borders of our life are futile. And our attempts to save ourselves ultimately fail us. Moses cried out in Psalms 90, verses 3 through 7. He cries out to the Lord, "You turn man into destruction and say, 'Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like the flood, and they're like sleep. In the morning they're like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, but in the evening it withers. For we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath. We are terrified." Man doesn't seem to want to acknowledge his limits in life. He certainly does not want to acknowledge the sovereignty of the Lord in his life. And man continues to walk down the pathway of his own creation. He sets his own destiny in motion. He charts his own course. He sets his own goal. And he does his best to reach that goal without self-destructing. And yet he finds out that There is no way possible that that could ever be done. We are consumed all day long by our own weaknesses, our own failures, by our own mortality. And yet Moses and Abraham and Enoch and David and Noah and countless others found the Lord God not only to be creator and sustainer, protector and provider for them, He also is our greatest companion and our greatest friend. And I would ask you this morning, dear friend, do you know the Lord as your greatest companion and your greatest friend in life? David did. Moses did. Abraham did. Do you? Do you cultivate that relationship with the Lord that is more than just the acknowledgement of some supreme God that rules and reigns over all of creation? Or has He become more personal to you? And do you understand Him? And do you know Him as one who walks with you and talks with you and shares His very life with you and desires for you to share your life with Him? In the 23rd Psalm, David sang, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And how true that is. For those of us who know the Lord as our shepherd, we realize, we understand that in the Lord we lack nothing. He provides for everything that is necessary for us in life. Mentally, spiritually, morally, publicly, privately. God answers every need. God addresses every concern. God fills every void. God is our all in all. When we know Him as shepherd, when we follow Him as the shepherd of our lives, we can say with David, we lack nothing. I lack nothing in life because the Lord is my shepherd. He provides for everything that I need. And again, in the 23rd Psalm, what does He provide? He provides rest and peace. He provides restoration and direction in life. Protection from my enemies, even the greatest enemy over me, and that is death itself. He provides protection. He honors me before all who would discredit or ruin me, and He fills my life to overflowing with good things. These are the things that we've considered in the past few weeks as we studied this 23rd Psalm together, but this morning we close out this wonderful hymn by looking at the promises of God toward me. Notice what David says in verse 6 of the 23rd Psalm. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What is this goodness and this mercy that David speaks of? Do you know this goodness in your own life? Are you acquainted with this mercy in your life? Do these two blessings of God follow you as they followed David throughout his life? The goodness that David speaks of is the Hebrew tov. And the Hebrew tov talks about the physical, material blessings that God brings into our lives. It's the benefits that we receive from the very hand of God. Those good things that make our living abundant and pleasant and joyful and rewarding. Again, I would have us to understand, David knew this full well, as did many of the Old Testament individuals that we so highly regard. God is not necessarily interested in meeting all of our wants, but His longing, His desire is to meet all of our needs. And David here says that the Lord provides for those abundantly. He calls them tov, the goodness of God. His provision that is able to sustain me. So much so that he could again reflect back on the first verse of the hymn and say, "I lack nothing because He is my shepherd." He provides for all that I need, all of the physical resources, all of the physical necessities of life, the Lord God places into my life because He is my shepherd. But then he also talks about the chesed. He talks about the mercy. This mercy that he talks about, this chesed, refers to the spiritual benefits of God. The goodness, the good favor, the kindness that he shows toward us. These are the spiritual aspects of God's benefits to us. Peace of mind. When was the last time you had peace of mind? Satisfaction deep within the soul, deep within your innermost being. The joy of the Lord that wells up within you. When everything else is going wrong, you still have that joy of the Lord welling up within you. The forgiveness of sin, the freedom from anxiety, the confidence that only the Lord can give you when you face adversity in life. These are the chesed of God. These are the mercies of God that follow us all the days of our lives when we make the Lord our shepherd. These things David experienced. He experienced them throughout his life. Whether he was facing the giant Goliath, or he was running from the vengeful King Saul, or had to deal with his rebellious son Absalom, or had to confront his critical wife Michal, or he had to dispose of his conniving general Abner. David faced these and many other things in life with confidence, with peace, with joy, with strength, with courage, because the Lord was his shepherd. God was good to David. God was good to David, and he blessed him with strength, with wealth, with opportunity, with courage, gave him the throne of Jerusalem to be the king over all of God's people, and then made a covenant promise with him that his descendant, the one whom we know as Jesus the Christ, would reign over the kingdoms of God forever on the throne of David. The Lord blessed him with influence over many and victory over all of his enemies. Those were the physical blessings of God, but he also blessed him with a sincere heart, with a good conscience, with forgiveness for his sins, and restoration from judgment. He blessed him with a love for God that was unparalleled in his generation. Surely tov and chesed shall follow me all the days of my life, David could sing. But that song was not a song of theory. It was not a song of desire. It was not a song of wishful thinking. It was a song of experience. Those were the footsteps that David walked. And he walked those footsteps with the Lord. Again, I want to underscore the fact that these blessings did not come to David because of his race. These blessings were not his simply because he was a Jew rather than a Gentile. These blessings didn't come to him because of his intellect, because of his heritage, or because of his abilities. Goodness and mercy followed David all the days of his life because he was devoted to the Lord God in his life. And dear friends, I would encourage you to consider the same thing for yourself. If you desire these same blessings, these same benefits of the Lord in your life, then there is one requirement that the Lord places upon us, and that is that we follow him. That we honor him, that we obey him. David was devoted to the Lord, and that devotion was seen in his obedience to the Lord as the shepherd of his youth. Now, Jesus offers the same benefits to us, does he not? A few passages of Scripture to underscore the fact that the God of the Old Testament, who was the shepherd of David, is the Christ of the New Testament, who is the shepherd of the church. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, Jesus said, "Don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." God's desire is to bless us in the very necessities of life. He desires that we should not want in any of these things. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened to him. Or what man is there, Jesus said, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask? Again, the desire of God's heart is to bless us with tov, with goodness, with all of the material resources that are necessary for us to have an abundant life, a joyful life, and to bless us with chesed, with all of the things spiritual that are necessary to give us peace and joy and confidence and courage. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. The psalmist sings, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The same thing that David extols here in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing in life. He blesses me with all of the bountiful blessings. And then he gives me goodness and mercy every day of my life. But I want you to notice how David concludes the song. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, contrary to popular belief, the house of the Lord that David refers to here is not heaven. David is not referencing heaven when he speaks of the house of the Lord. He is referencing the temple in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem was very important for the Jews. It was very important for David. The house of the Lord was the place of worship for the faithful servant of God. It was the place where he offered his sacrifices to the Lord God and received forgiveness for his sins. But most of all, and I think this was uppermost in David's mind when he refers to the house of the Lord, it was the place where one communes with God. In other words, it was the place of fellowship. And I think this is what David longed for most and what David sang about more than anything else. And the great desire of his heart was that he would fellowship with God. All of these experiences that David had in life, as a shepherd boy out by himself taking care of dad's sheep, or tending to the needs of his brothers as they were enlisted in the army and fighting the Philistines who continually plagued the children of Israel, or standing before the giant Goliath, or having to deal with the vengeful Saul, or dealing with all of the affairs of state as the king, the thing that David cherished more than anything else in his life was his fellowship with God. And I think that's what he references here when he speaks of the temple. This is where a person meets the Lord. And David says, I shall dwell in this house of the Lord, in this fellowship with God, not just today, not just tomorrow, not just every Sabbath that comes into my life, but I will dwell in the fellowship of God forever. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful blessing. It is not just enough, dear friends, to receive the goodness of God in this life, as great as that may be. And it's not enough just to receive the mercy of God in this life, as wonderful as that is, but to dwell in fellowship with God every day that I live, and then on through eternity. There is nothing in this life that could ever match that blessing. Nothing that could ever take the place of that promise. That was the thing that David enjoyed more than anything else. He longed for more than anything else. And what he looked forward to as he closes out his life, his heart's desire was that same fellowship that he enjoyed with God out in the fields as a shepherd, in the palace as a king, in the wilderness as a refugee, he now will enjoy for all eternity. And this would be given to him because he made the Lord his shepherd. He obediently followed the Lord through thick and through thin, through the highs and the lows, the good and the bad, the successes and the failures. And he found that the Lord was not only gracious and merciful as a benefactor here and now, but he's also a loyal and trustworthy friend and companion throughout life and then throughout eternity. For David and for us, there is the promise of eternal life to all who fix their heart upon the Lord as shepherd. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Not temporal life, not just mortal life, but everlasting, eternal life. He promised in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if," and it's third class conditional in the Greek, "and since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The promise of fellowship with the Lord throughout all eternity. David acknowledged the Lord as his great shepherd, and he is our great shepherd also if we honor him and follow him and obey him. And those who do acknowledge the Lord as the great shepherd of their lives, he gives the promise in John 10, verses 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish." What a wonderful hymn that David sang to the Lord God, his shepherd. This passage of Scripture has been a blessing. It has been of comfort to many who face the chilling hand of death. It has been a blessed psalm to recite when times are tough and the days are dark, when we feel lonely and alone. It has been such a boost to our spirit when things just don't go right in life. We recite this psalm, we look upon it, we call upon it, and it gives us such peace and such comfort. But dear friends, in closing, I want you to acknowledge what David acknowledged. The joy of his life was not fixed on the things that he had as a king, the material resources, although he enjoyed them. And they were not on the relationships with individuals that he had in the course of his life, even though they were important to him. The whole focus of this psalm is not on the rest and the peace. It's not on the green pastures and the still waters. It's not on the valleys of the shadows of death. It's not on the goodness and the mercy. It's on the shepherd. The focus of the psalm is on the Lord God and who he was to David and who he ought to be to you and to me. We can enjoy these same blessings, but not because we focus on them. Only when we focus on him can we enjoy these same blessings. Father, thank you for this wonderful hymn of the Hebrew hymnal. Thank you for all that it teaches us. Thank you for all that it means to us. But above everything else, Father, thank you that it directs our attention to you, our great shepherd. And Father, while many of us here today would like to have all of those wonderful blessings, all of those material resources, all of those spiritual benefits, and while all too often in this society that is the focus of our lives, to have more and more and more, For David, it was fellowship with you that was most important. When he focused his attention on you as the great shepherd of his life, all of these blessings came. But when he focused his attention on the blessings, they dried up. God, teach us the same lesson. Help us, Lord God, each and every moment of each and every day that we live for the rest of our lives here in the earth, to maintain our full focus on you. And to acknowledge you, Lord God, as our shepherd, who guides us, who leads us, who provides for us, who protects us, who gives us all the things that we need to live a life pleasing to you. But there may be one here today, Lord, who doesn't know you. There may be one here today who is not following you as the shepherd of their life. Father, their heart's desires for all of these benefits that David talks about in the 23rd Psalm, but they realize today they can never have those benefits until, first of all, they have you as the Lord of their life. Unless, first of all, they follow you as the great shepherd of their life. Father, I pray that today that soul will acknowledge the need for Jesus Christ, your Son. And they will come confessing him as Lord and Savior of their life. And they will receive today the forgiveness of sin. And they will receive the assurance of eternal life because they put their faith and trust in Jesus. Father, I pray that you will help us to see that during this time of giving and receiving of gifts, the greatest gift that we could ever receive is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. And the greatest gift that we could ever give is the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of those in our circles of influence. Father, help us to turn away from the materialism of the world and from the egocentric ways of our lives and focus our attention upon Jesus and help others to focus their attention upon Jesus during this time of his birth, the time when we celebrate his birth. Father, help us to be good stewards of our lives, as David was a good steward of his life, by following you every day of our lives until you call us home. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Stand with me if you will, please. David is going to lead us in a hymn of commitment, a hymn of invitation. My heart's desire for you, dear friend, is that you know Jesus as your shepherd. God's desire is that you know him as your shepherd in life. The Apostle Peter writes to us in his letter, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire for you is to have life in him, to be free from the penalty of sin, to be free from the power of sin, to be free to live in him as the shepherd of your life. And he offers that opportunity to you free of charge. Jesus has already paid the price for this gift of eternal life. He paid for it on the cross. And all he asks for you to do is receive it in faith. Put your trust in him and be saved. And all of the blessings that David sang about in the 23rd Psalm will be yours and more. But only if you know the Lord as your shepherd. You come and receive him today as we sing. David, lead us. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.